I love that. We're continuing in the series on Genesis, and we're looking at the different stories, these pivotal stories in this first book of the Bible. And we've talked about this every week. There's an overarching theme, and this is the theme. God desires a relationship with His people. That's the overarching theme that we find throughout Genesis. And, spoiler alert, you find it throughout the entire Bible. God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with His people. And He goes to all cost to have that relationship with us and calling us His children. We are currently in what is called the patriarchs. That's the section in Genesis that we're working through. The patriarchs and the matriarchs, these were the men and the women who were the leaders of God's children. It started off with Abraham, Father Abraham, and his wife Sarah. And I would encourage you, if you would, during the week, sometimes you need to map this out, write it out on a piece of paper. It will help you get a full picture of all these names. There's a lot of names involved, but it's Abraham and Sarah. They have a son. His name is Isaac, and he marries Rebekah. So Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Rebekah, they have the twins. We talked about them last week. You remember their names? Esau and, you remember?
Jacob.
All right, you're listening there. Esau and Jacob. And Esau is the oldest of those brothers. And one of the things we talked about last week, if you're the firstborn son, you were entitled to two things specifically. One was the birthright. The birthright meant that you got a double inheritance once your father passed away, and you became the spiritual leader of your family. So you got a double inheritance compared to your other siblings, and you became the leader. And the other thing you received was the blessing. And the blessing was a very important part of the Jewish culture where the father would bless that firstborn son as the leader of his family. And so what we read last week in chapters 25 and 27 was how Jacob, the trickster, the liar, the cheater, how he stole both the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau, the older brother. And so Jacob, being the younger brother, he becomes the one who is in line for to be the patriarch. And so as you can imagine, I mean, if you can imagine the dysfunction in your family and in my family, there's dysfunction here. A lot of dysfunction of all the conniving going back and forth. And we read about that in chapters 25 and 27. Now, today we're going to be in chapter 32. And because of we only have so many weeks to do this, we skipped over a lot. When you go from chapters 25 and 27, you skip all the way to 32, you miss a good part of the story. The dysfunction continues. You've got Jacob who falls in love with this young woman named Rachel. And Rachel has an older sister named Leah. And their father says, "You can marry Rachel if you work 7 years for me." And Jacob goes, "Sign me up. I'll work 7 years." And so he works 7 years so that he can marry this daughter Rachel. Well, when the wedding night comes, the father slips in the older sister rather than Rachel. And because he sleeps with Leah, he is bound to be married to Leah. And he's upset. He goes, you cheated me. Here again, the one who was the trickster, he gets tricked himself. He goes to his father-in-law. He says, "You tricked me. You gave me the older sister Leah when I loved Rachel." He said, "Well, if you want to work another 7 years, I'll let you marry Rachel." Which he signs up, if you can imagine that, for another 7 years to work for Rachel. So he's invested 14 years. He has two wives. He's married these sisters, Leah and Rachel. Rachel he loves. Leah he does not love. And it's a sad story when you read between the lines of what's going on between them. And there's friction. There's friction between his father-in-law and Jacob. So there's some more dysfunction there. But they resolve it. They do get to a point where they resolve it. And now it's time for Jacob to resolve the tension with his brother Esau. If you go back to chapter 27, when we left the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau is so angry, he says, I will one day kill my brother. That's how angry he is. And so when we get to chapter 32, it is at the point where Jacob is about to meet his brother Esau. And they are camped out on one side of a river, the river Jacob, and Jabbok. And they're at this river, and Jacob, he sends his wives over. He sends all his possessions over, all the animals. He sends them all over to meet Esau first, his brother. And that's, you think about that. Why in the world would you send your wives over to create in this conflict? But that's what he does. That's what we read. And that's where we are in chapter 32. And it's here that Jacob finds himself with an interesting scenario where he spends all night wrestling with God. And so that's where we're going to pick up in our text today. So we're in chapter 32. I'm going to start with verse 22 and read down through verse 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. That's the river. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. We learn later in the text that this man is God. We learn that later in the text. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" And Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Friends, the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever and ever. Let's pray. God, we ask now that in these next few moments that you would speak to us and speak clearly. Help us to hear from you. God, I pray that every word that flows from my lips would be from you, O God. Help me to hide in the shadow of your cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you will find this hard to believe, but I wrestled in high school, at McIntosh High School. And I was not very good, but I did wrestle. I enjoyed it. Derek here, he wrestled in college. And Buck, he coaches over. And you coach, too, at East Kiowita, too, don't you, Derek? So we got some wrestlers in the room, but anybody want to guess what weight I wrestled? 140. I want to kiss you right now, Ben. That's I haven't seen 140 since first grade. Okay, I wrestled heavyweight. I know that you find that hard to believe, and I debated, and Beth said it was okay. I'm gonna show you a picture. And this is going to be brief. It's going to be a brief picture. That is my wrestling pose. And that's probably 10th or 11th grade there. That's enough. Get off it now, Joe. Get it off. So that was my wrestling career. And one of the things that you learn when you're a heavyweight is that you either pin or get pinned. There are three different periods where you got first, second, and third. Heavyweights never go all the way through third, do they? Very seldom do you see them. You've seen some, Derek? Okay. Let me tell you, when I wrestled, you either pinned the person or you got pinned. But the whole idea of wrestling, there was this resistance. If you ever wrestled, you know, there's a constant resistance with each other, with the intent of conquering your opponent, with the intent of winning. You don't wrestle without resistance. There's resistance in the whole wrestling match. Now, our text this morning, it is about a wrestling match, and it's the most famous wrestling match ever. Now, some of you may think the most famous wrestling match was with Ric Flair, or maybe Abdullah the Butcher. Some of you may remember Abdullah the Butcher. Maybe some of you will remember some of the other popular TV wrestlers. But this story that we're talking about today is the story of Jacob wrestling with God. And there's a couple of observations I just want to make from the get-go when we're looking at this story that we find. And it's a fascinating story that we find in Genesis. The first thing is, this is not a tag team match. You know, Jacob, he's by himself. He's by himself, and he finds himself face to face with God, resisting God, resisting this in this wrestling match. The second thing that I want to know, that just basic observation, that this was a stressful time for Jacob. If you can imagine, he sent his wives over. He knows that he's about to encounter his brother Esau. And we read in previous chapters that he's fearful of what Esau is going to do to him. He is fearful that he's going to lose his life. He's scared. And so here he is. He's by himself alone. And he's under this stressful situation, and he finds himself wrestling with God. Can I tell you, I look back over my life, every time I've resisted God, every time I knew God was pushing me in one direction, and I was pushing back and saying no, and trying to resist where God was pushing me, I can trace it back oftentimes to being alone during a stressful time in my life. I can look back. I can look back. I want you to think about your life. When was the last time you pushed back on God? When's the last time you felt some resistance? You gave God some resistance. He said, this is the direction I want you to go, and you gave back, you pushed back, and you find yourself, quote, wrestling with God. Was it during a stressful time? Did you find yourself alone? Oftentimes, that's when we find ourselves wrestling with God. In the story, there's an interesting thing that happens. So they're wrestling all night. And they get to a point where the sun is coming up. And God says, the man says to Jacob, he says, I'm done. I'm done. I'm leaving you on your own. He's been resisting all night long, and he says, I'm about to leave. Just let me go. I'm not about to leave. And it is at this point that Jacob says, he clings to him. He goes, no, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. As I've read this this passage and studied this passage and looked at different commentaries, this is what the commentaries have in common. They say it was at this point that when Jacob surrenders, it's at this point when he realizes that the man, God, is going to leave him. And although he's been resisting, he doesn't want to be left alone. And he says, I'm going to hold on until you bless me. I want to surrender to you. In wrestling, there's something that's called tapping out. So if you're wrestling an opponent and you're in a position that is causing you severe pain, or you can't breathe, or you can't go on any longer, and you surrender, it's called tapping out. Tap out. It was at this moment in the story when when Jacob holds on, he says, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Bless me before you leave. It's Jacob tapping out and surrendering to God. When the main idea that I want us to talk about just briefly this morning as we think about our resistance to God and us pushing back when God is pushing us and telling us to go in a certain direction. I want us to think about this idea here. This is the main idea. It's surrendering, not resisting, is how one experiences freedom. It's surrendering to God. It's not resisting God that one can experience true freedom. Now, when you hear the word surrender, what comes to your mind? What are some of the ideas that come? Weak, submission, laying down, relinquishing. You know, surrendering is not a very popular word in our culture. It's not. We don't think about it. We don't want to lose. That's what you do. You lose. Well, when it comes to our relationship with God, there's this paradox. The paradox is when we surrender to God, that's when we're truly free. When we surrender to God and say, you're in control, not me. I'm no longer going to fight you. I'm no longer going to resist you. But I'm going to turn my life over to you. I'm surrendering to you. It's in that surrendering that one experiences freedom. This morning, very, very briefly, we're going to just look closely just at this story here. Some other observations about wrestling with God, resisting God or surrendering to God. What do those look like? And the first thing I want to share is that resisting God will take you where you don't want to go. Resisting God will take you where you don't want to go. What do you think Jacob was thinking at about 4 a.m. that morning or 5 a.m.? Been wrestling, resisting God all night long. I'm sure he was tired. He was lonely. He was frustrated. I mean, that's what I'm sure he was experiencing after wrestling all night long with God. You know, when I talk to someone and they're tired and lonely and frustrated in life, you don't have to dig too deep under the surface before you realize there's been some wrestling with God going on, that there's been some struggle, there's been some resistance. And it's feasible. It's important to know here, we, just like Jacob, we have it within us to resist God. We can choose to say, no thanks. We can choose to say, I'm going to push back. I don't want to go down that path. I want to do what I want to do. I want it how I want it. We can resist God, but it leads. It takes us where we don't, takes us to a place where we don't want to be. Lonely, tired, and frustrated. The second thing I think is important to see in this passage is that resisting God will leave a mark on your life. Resisting God will leave a mark on your life. It's interesting in the text, when you get to verse 25, and they're wrestling here, it says that the man, God, touches the hip socket of Jacob, and his hip becomes dislocated. It knocks it out. To the point that you read on at the end of the story, after he blesses him, he walks with a limp. And as far as we know, he walks with a limp the rest of his life. And maybe one of the things that I thought about with this is that you can't resist God without it being some consequences to that. There are consequences when we resist God. It makes a mark on our lives. Now, the paradox of that is every time that Jacob would walk, I can imagine with that limp, he's thinking about his resisting God, but he's also reminded of the blessing that came at the end of that wrestling match as well. Yes, there's consequences. There's consequences when we resist God for the long haul, but at the same time, we're reminded of the blessings that God brings us through during those seasons when we resist. But resisting it will leave a mark on your life. And the last thing I want to share is that surrendering to God will change your identity. An interesting thing in your projection in life. In the text, if you have your Bibles, you can see. So God asks him, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob," as a response. Now, the commentaries that I read, they said the very fact that Jacob said his name, Jacob, it revealed who he truly was. It was almost like, "I'm the trickster. I'm the one. I'm the heel grabber. I'm the one who grabbed my older brother when we were still in the womb. I'm the one who lied to my father. I'm the one who deceived my other family members." He was confessing who he was, Jacob. That was his old life. And then at this point, God says, he says in verse 28, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." And Israel means struggles with God. That's what that word means. If you know the whole story, if you go through the book of Genesis, you see him for Jacob. This was the pivotal, at this point in his life, the pivotal moment in his life where there was a change for him. Not only was a name change from Jacob, the trickster, to Israel, the one who struggles with God, there's this change. There's a change in his life. And we'll see that next week when we talk about Esau and Jacob and their reunion with each other. But from here on out, there's a change that happens because of his surrendering to God. I can't help but think that there are some here this morning who are at a point where it's time to surrender. It's simply time to surrender. You've been resisting and resisting and resisting, and now it's time. I'm going to ask the guys to come, and they're going to play this beautiful hymn that they've chosen. "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." If today is a day that you need to surrender, we're gonna open up our altars for as they sing this last song for us tonight, this morning. Just know that the altars are open. If you've got any area in your life where you're saying, "I'm tired of fighting, I'm tired of wrestling."